Well, greetings. Today we're here at Kelly's Cafe with Kathy Lanyon. Kathy is a global IT manager who oversees teams in over 165 locations worldwide. Her job is managing multiple concurrent projects and making sure they are completed on time and within budget. In Kathy's 26 years in management, she's gained a lot of experience working with and managing teams comprised mostly of men. As a woman in management, Kathy's dealt with global gender and cultural issues and consistently succeeds in building winning, loyal teams. Kathy has a no-nonsense approach to men and management and gets her point across with a sense of humor that her staff loves, and you're going to love it too. Kathy, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you.
I'm so glad that Kathy and I have talked before, and she always makes me laugh, and she always makes a lot of sense. Excuse me. So, Kathy, a lot of IT companies, especially startups these days, have a somewhat informal culture. No cubicles, no openness in communication, and they encourage fun in the workplace. When strong lines don't exist between the ranks and everybody's accessible to everybody else, as a woman working with men, how do you feel that? Do you see that as being a detriment?
I do see some women, and I think basically how I work or how I manage or even learn to make sure I have that respect, whether it's a male or a female, I do make it fun. And I think in today's world, you know, with the downsizing and everybody's overwhelmed with so much work, everything is tense. And my approach has always been, and probably part of my background because of coaching kids, okay, in sports.
Hmm.
And it's more always having a winning team. If you make it fun in the workplace, they will do anything for you. But you have to also make sure that they understand, you know, what your needs are, what needs to be completed, and whether you're a guy or a girl, they have to make sure, they have to learn, basically, a whole thing comes down to respect. And they have to know that you have their back. And that's how I've always worked. If, you know, what I say to them, this is what we need to have done, blah, blah, blah. If you need resources, if you need help, please let me know. And I get that all the time. Hey, I can't do this, blah, blah, blah. No problem. Let's find a solution. You know, I don't look at we can't do something. We can always find another way. And when they see that's how we work or how I work, it's amazing what you get out of them. They tend to start going above and beyond what they do. They love doing this. They bring ideas to the field. I like that. They know I love ideas. Be creative. And it's, you know, you got to be positive the whole time. And that's basically how I build the team. And that's how, to be honest with you, I have 32 people who work for me today. 31 of them are male. And of the 31, not one of them have quit on me. And I think part of it is I make sure everybody gets along. Everybody is, you know, cross-trained. Everybody knows what each other is doing. And we make it fun. And I enjoy it. I really do enjoy it.
So, but Kathy, if you're dealing with not just the gender issue, but then there, you're all over the world, so you're dealing with cultural issues. Do you ever have a problem with men not respecting you?
No, which is interesting because we have facilities in China, Poland, and UK, Sweden, and it's interesting. Now, I have a guy who works for me who kind of, you know, shows me the place, shows me what's going on. But I make a point to sit with upper management at these places And again, I kind of make it a positive approach that we're here to help you. Whatever your needs are, come to us and we will provide the, you know, infrastructure for you. I will make sure I get work with the other teams. And when they see results, you get the respect.
When you say you sit with upper management, what does that mean?
When I say upper management, they are the vice presidents, presidents of our different functions in the company. We have the CEO. I have, and again, I have that approach that I'm not scared to sit with our CEO, who is Al Jagode. I don't have a fear to sit with him and say, Mr. Jagode, it's, hello, Al, how you doing? Okay, I want them to feel that, you know, you put your pants on the same way as I do. I have always had that approach. And it's amazing when someone has an issue, I don't get their admin to call me. They call me directly and say, hey, can you order this for me? Or I have an issue with my computer. Can we get this fixed? They know I'm there for them, but they know, hey, you got to talk the same language as them. That's basically how I look at it.
And so you make sure you have a seat at the table with whatever's going
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. I do not have that fear.
And then do you feel that they have your back when you're dealing with your team?
It's interesting because I've dealt with my team. Yeah, I'm going to say yes. And the reason is because I have shown to upper management how my team works. I manage level one and level two support for the whole company worldwide, okay? So my team are the eyes and ears of the IT teams. Or level three technical groups where, you know, our end users are really our customers, okay? So they see my team face-to-face every day because my guys are located in these big facilities, primarily at the customer service centers and corporate headquarters. And they see what my guys do. And for the last several years, we've been labeled as the number one support group for Unisource because, again, when I say I have an awesome team, it's more we have an awesome team. We're there. I don't like silos. We're a team, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I have never had the opportunity, or I shouldn't say opportunity. In the last several years, you know, IT has downsized. Probably half the amount. However, my team has never, fortunately, I never had to lay anyone off. Again, they show how critical my team is for the business.
So that's a really good thing because if you know you have their back, I mean, they have your back, then you feel you can be comfortable any place in the world speaking
exactly.
to anybody. Yeah.
Yep.
So tell me what some of those your secrets for management success are.
I think it's got to be fun. It's got to be a fun working place. I don't mean joking around, kidding around all the time. I mean, I set standards and processes. I'm a true believer of documenting processes.
So everybody knows what you're doing.
Exactly. Cross-training is key. And the reason I say cross-training is key, especially for my team, is because, again, I may have some, I call them SMEs, they're the subject matter experts in specific areas. Like servers, you know, I may have one specific, but they all know what has to be done. However, if they have an issue, they know to go to that specific team player to help them. But if I have a VP that has a laptop issue and he's located at our corporate headquarters and he travels to California and has an issue with that laptop, I expect my guy in California to know what to do with that laptop to get a fix. So cross-training was a key for me in management. And again, when you have a team, and I don't know how to express it anymore, team is the key for managing. You get cross-training, processes, standards, and trust me, when there's a member of my team that don't follow that process, I sit with them and I ask them, okay, what do you need some more cross-training? Again, you don't scream and yell at the person that works for you.
Mm-hmm.
You sit with them and you find out, okay, what's their concern? What's their issue? Do you need more training? Do you, you know, what help do you need to better yourself? Okay, and help with the team. And that encourages them to know that.
Hmm.
So, you know, but processes and standards are really a key. And if you don't have that, and I'm a true believer in documentation. So when there's an issue comes and a team player didn't have it, they're like, well, I didn't have the information. And I just shoot them a little email and say, hey, you know, look in our solutions and here's the document. And when they know that I know where it is, they step up to the plate.
So then it's easy to back them up when you know that they are doing the work. And
right.
And they know where to go. So it's a two-way street for you, that your team know you'll back them up, but that they better be doing the work. And
exactly.
They know that it's documented. They know where everything is.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have any excuses.
You got it.
Yeah. And just in the normal course of working, I presume there's times when one staff or another gets angry. But how do you handle that?
And that's funny you say that because I'm in a situation right now with that. And it's not a member on my team getting angry with another member on my team. I haven't even had that issue. Probably for 10 years I haven't even had that issue. Because I have a weekly status meeting and everyone's invited to go over things and areas, and it's amazing the collaboration we get. However, we tend to have situations on our level three because, again, these support teams, well, they're the more the technical support where our team doesn't have access to certain things to do, so we have to go to these support groups, like our networks team, okay, or our security group. And we have to wait till they get something done in order for us to move forward to do our stuff. And when you get nowhere with their groups, because, again, they're more that silo groups, and boy, I've been pushing getting rid of silos, and I'm starting to get successful at this. But I'll tell you why. Because this is happening on our Belgium International, which makes it even more difficult because now we're dealing with international and not local, okay? So an example is, you know, we're waiting for a circuit to get into our Belgium office and they're, you know, networking and saying, you know, well, we're not going to do this and security is blocking them from going to their customers and blah, blah, blah. So I see all these emails flying around and my guy, it's starting to get angry in the emails. And I'm a true believer of pick up the phone. Talk about it. Let's get a fix. Do not send emails back and forth. So I ended up getting a hold of their managers and saying, okay, I have a solution here because they're getting the emails and they're like, what do we do here? So I got a hold of their managers and I said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be the project manager for these groups right now for anything in infrastructure because there is no project manager. And I'm going to set up a meeting with all parties involved, listing all the outstanding issues we have with our international sites. And we will find a solution. And we will not do this battling. And I have a meeting Monday night, with everybody. I can guarantee you we'll have everything fixed because I'm going to go in there to say, you know what? You guys don't have to like each other. You don't have to go to have a drink after work, but you got to work together. We are all one team. We are IT. We are one team. We support our facilities, our business, okay? They are our customers. So if you have an issue here, you have an issue, let's sit down and find a solution. We can work this out. And that's how I am going to do it. But that's how you have to work it out. You can't blame this person or blame this person. Let's find a solution.
What you just said, Kathy, I thought a piece of all of what you said was interesting, but the one thing that I realized that you were saying was that you got all of the managers, all of the people that you're having some challenge with, you talked to their bosses and said, here's what I'm going to do.
Yep.
You weren't reactive. You were, I see this is happening, and you were proactive. And
be proactive, yes.
And didn't it's good. You didn't blame. And that's a lot of times what happens. We say, well, it's not my fault. It was somebody
mm-hmm.
else's fault. And things can get in a big loop that way.
Yes.
And also, it sounds that as though you didn't go directly to the team members and say, here's what I'm going to do. You went to the people they report to and said, this is going on. Here's what I'm going to do. And are you leaving it up to them to make sure that those people are part of the forum?
I'm giving them the option to join the meeting. And, again, I let them have the option. And I guess they felt confident enough for me to just handle it because they know how I work. I don't blame a group, you know, and, you know, I'm not there to blame anyone. I don't care whose issue it is. I don't care whose fault it is. Let's just get it fixed and move forward.
Yeah.
That's how I work.
And I
got to
stop
putting blame on each other and stop putting blame on people because I hear it every day. Well, that's not my issue. My team knows not to say that to me.
So if it's a problem with one person in the team, then it's the team's
exactly.
Problem.
Yep.
That's a good
and then
idea.
We find a solution. And then it's not a problem anymore.
You're very pragmatic, very practical, matter of fact, and don't give me any crap.
Yeah, that's me. Couldn't say it any better.
You know, Kathy, I think a lot of women are afraid to step out that way. I think that a lot of people and I think maybe women are like this with other women. Recently, there's been a lot in the news with Sheryl Sandberg's new book, and women are attacking Sheryl Sandberg for speaking about the practicality of being a woman in business and a woman with power. Do you ever find that happens for you, that other women are resentful toward you?
And it's funny you ask me that. I've had a lot of women managers. As a matter of fact, I have a new woman manager, and I think she's awesome. She's absolutely awesome. My last manager was a guy. And let me tell you, and here's a great example. Well, before I tell you about him, prior to him, I've had all female managers. And the one female manager years ago put me under her wing and helped me build my confidence up help me build myself to becoming a great manager. And I today have so much respect for her. I love her to death. She's retired. You know, she became an officer of the company and done very well. She always has said to me, your family comes first, your job comes second. And I've always let my team know that, too, because, you know, I had two kids to raise, and, you know, if one of my kids were sick, hey, do what you have to do, because she knew when I was in work, I worked 150% of my time in work. It wasn't, okay, I'm worried about this, blah, blah, blah. She knew what I could do, and she basically put me, so I guess from that experience, I've taught my kids that way, you know, but that's how I work with my people. But it's interesting, the last manager I had was a guy. And, of course, he had four direct reports to him. I was the only one that was remote, okay? The other three direct reports were, like, sitting right outside his office. So when we have weekly status meetings, these guys were yes people to him.
Hmm.
I wasn't a yes person. Hello. And I guess it made it easier because I wasn't sitting right out there of his office. And literally I watched him, you know, treat these guys like, you got to do this, 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 and this. Well, when he tried to do that to me, I would question him and ask him why. And what's the reason? What's the justification? How will that benefit me? How would that benefit my team? But these other guys is, okay, we need to have, you know, this circuit in here because this person told them to get it done.
Hmm.
You know, you got to question it. Why are you spending all this money to have this done when it doesn't make sense? Don't you want to do an assessment, put a plan together first, analyze it before we just do it? So I don't think he liked the fact that I stood up. And I can honestly tell you, he was the one let go.
Hmm.
So I guess it worked for me. And
but, you know,
you
Kathy,
know,
I think that happens a lot of times with women when they're afraid to question, because if they question and somebody doesn't like that they're questioning, that
still
they feel, pardon me?
You still have to, and I understand that, but you know what? You have to let that person know that, you know, I'll do anything for you. However, don't undermine me. You have to stand firm. And it was funny because the other guys, his other direct reports, if they had a question to ask him, they would come to me to ask a question. And I'd be like, you guys can answer it. You know, ask them, now how about you do it? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, really?
But how did you deal with that fact that he was unhappy with you? How, like, did that affect you personally?
But see, that's what was funny. He wasn't really unhappy with me, because when I got my review, let me tell you, I was so impressed. I'm like, wow, I thought this guy really hated me. It turned out that he learned to respect me, because it wasn't that I was questioning him and putting him down, because I wouldn't do that. I would just bring up questions of, you know, does that make sense? Could we go this route? That's kind of how I approached him. I didn't want to approach him to say, you know, that was so stupid. Really? Are we doing that? You can't approach it that way. You have to approach it where, when he tells you, okay, this is what has to be done, you have to approach him more where he has to think about, you know what, that might be an idea, you know, or would this be an idea, could we go this route? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I think that, so a lot of times I think what happens is when, because women are afraid to question, or when they question, they're not, those questions aren't appreciated, I think sometimes what happens is that that we're already nervous about doing it because we don't feel it's going to be received, and then maybe have a tonality or a way of questioning that isn't as productive. And what you're saying is keep it, stick with the facts, stick with the process, and just ask it that way.
Right. Like ask it where it's really his idea, even though it was your idea. You know? Like you kind of throw it at, you know, just as a thought, you know, and then he might say, well, we could go in that, and then, you know, that's the right way. And it's like, hey, you know, Derek, that's a great idea, you know, and let him think it was his idea, his suggestion. But you got to work it to get to there. It's more or less you got to manipulate those men. I don't know what other way to say it, but
so
you do it in a nice way.
So is that one of your, would that be one of your pieces for advice with for women with who manage men in the workplace?
Absolutely. Oh my God, you know, you find out what their you know, weaknesses are, and you bring it up, and you know, I kind of make it fun, make it a game, but they know that I'm there for you. You know, I just don't know any other way to explain
it. And that's true. I think that one of the things I notice with, and I don't see this as, you know, because women work differently than men, but, you know, men, if you are fair with them and if you tease with them, even if it's something that's not, you know, if it's not something that is comfortable for them, if you sort of make it light, that
yes.
It goes easier.
Yes, and it's funny, and I hate to say this, but I kind of have this reputation, and it's pretty bad, but it works for some reason, you know, because there's time when I want to just say, oh, F you, you know, unfortunately, mm-hmm. I know this is being taped. But it comes out, and, you know, when one of the guys say something kiddingly, I say, oh, bite me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that they know I say that all the time now, you know. But they know it's a kidding way, but they know I'm serious, if that makes any sense. I mean, the guys even got me a bite me hat, you know. So it's not, again, you got to feel like you're one of the guys. Unfortunately, but I have fun. I've always worked with guys. You know, I married a husband who was a blue-collar worker. He was in construction. Trust me, some of that language I've never heard of.
Mm.
However, they're one of the guys, so I've learned to be one of the guys.
Mm.
But they learn to respect you, especially if you're in a man's world. Trust me. Yeah, you got to get that respect.
What are some of the mistakes that you see women making when it comes to management? You know, because I think some of the women listening today might be doing things that they don't realize that they're sabotaging their own success. And I understand that you're saying if you're in a man's world, you have to step up and speak, you know, you have to speak in a language that they understand.
Right.
But what are some other things that you might see?
I guess I see some women who just sit back. Again, that's the whole key. You need to, in order for them to respect you, but that's not even just men. That's anyone. You need to make sure they are listening to you. Like, again, I make them feel like I'm one of the guys. You know, I'm no better than them. At least I make them feel that way. Okay? I make it where we are all equal. And when you need to, and you just need to be strong and confident about yourself, and it comes easy to me. I don't have a problem walking up. It could be a room of, I don't know, politicians, and I don't have a problem walking up to them and telling them what I feel. You know,
but
you just have to have confidence in yourself.
But here's, I think, where a conundrum comes in with that idea of being letting them know that you're equal, but then you're the boss. So how do you make that shift? Like, how does that happen that you're the boss so you can be side by side, but they better be getting that work done or you're going to step into that role? How do you make that transition easily?
Well, I sit down with them. I work with them. I want them to make them feel, okay, I try to make them have, because I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter if you're a guy or a girl, but a lot of them do not have self-esteem. So they try to be tough, okay? So when you sit with them and make everything more of a like when you sit with them, I talk to them like, okay, how can we work this out? You know, and let them bring up ideas. But they know because I'm sitting with them, I'm confronting them. And when they bring up an idea, I say, okay, I love this approach. I will address it. And I make it I to let the team know this is what we're going to do. Kudos to this person brought this idea. That's how I manage. I just want them to feel like I'm a team player, but it's just proof in the pudding. You got to show everybody what you can do. Again, like I'm having a situation, what I mentioned to you, I went proactive and said, okay, this is what I'm going to do Monday night. Set up a meeting, get the team, this group of people together, and we're going to find a solution. You got to be proactive. You can't be a reactive person. Again, that's being a strong person managing. And that's how people start seeing you as a manager or seeing you as a female or a male. If you're more proactive, bring up the ideas, address them, they're going to see the work and say, wow, I have a lot of respect for that person. That's why I'm a to-go-to person. They see results.
Does it ever happen, Kathy, where you bring somebody in and you say, well, how can we fix this? And they're like, I don't know.
Then I step in and say, well, what about this idea? Let's bring up ideas because guess what? I don't leave that meeting. I don't shut down that meeting until we have a solution.
So you sort of prime the pump with how about this, how about this, and then they then say, oh, well, that, or we could do this.
Right. See, what happens is, okay, nobody says anything, and then I have to start saying, well, what do you think of this idea? And then somebody's like, yeah, and then we can do this and blah, 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 and it's like, okay. But I'm letting them feel like it's their idea again, you know, like I did with my old boss.
Mm-hmm.
You see how does that, but it works for me. And it's like, okay, this is great. Now we have a solution. Let's move forward and boom.
All right. You got to get it. You're not telling, you don't tell, you invite.
Yes. I want to make sure that they feel good about themselves. Again, if you give that self-confidence, self-esteem to your team, even to other managers or other people, they're going to feel good about themselves, and they're going to be like, you know what? I've been working with Kathy and blah, 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 you know. We can do this now, and you got to learn to get that respect. But if you let them know that they think it's their idea, it works all the time.
And, you know, I think that's true, and it's. I don't think that's just with men. I think that's in any management situation, that if you are the authoritarian and you say, this is what we're going to do, it's harder to get that buy-in than if I'd like your approach to say, well, how about these ideas, and then invite them to join in, and, you know, that invites the buy-in from everybody. And yet at the same time, you know, they know that you are responsible for making sure the job gets done.
Exactly.
Interesting, Kathy. it's interesting that you've been dealing
with
men. I'm sure
it's a different approach than what you hear, but it works.
Well, a lot of times it's, I think that's, what I think happens sometimes, Kathy, is that women are, I don't know whether it's because you're so confident or that sometimes women, what you just said about the bite me part, that yes, they harass you a little bit and you just dish it back.
Exactly.
And I think a lot of times women are, oh, they hurt my feelings.
Yeah. As a woman, you don't let them feel like they, you know, there's times, yeah, they probably do hurt my feelings. But you know what? I'm not letting them know that they did. Because if you do let them know, they're going to keep doing it. So that's why I say, you know what? Bite me. It's not happening, guys. And I move forward. You know? So, you again, that's how you have to approach guys. For me, that's how I approach them. I make sure they know I'm one of you guys. I don't have to be better than you. But
you
we're
know,
going
Kathy,
to be a team.
Kathy, I taught elementary and middle school, and a lot of what you're saying just reminds me of, as a teacher,
yes,
that the kids would, especially at the beginning of the year and especially when I was in a new school, they would always try and push the envelope to see how far
exactly
they were going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And when they knew that they weren't going to, they could go this far and then they cross the line, then they knew where they could go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they could go so far and then I'd say enough. And
yes,
at the same time, that I think what would happen is that it created a, and I think this is with people in every relationship when you have boundaries and then people know that we can go this far and then it
yes,
becomes a problem. So I'm only going to go that far, and that creates an element of safety. Everybody kind of knows what you have said. Everybody knows the rules.
Mm-hmm. And it's like with my team, I give them the world. I give them the access. I let them work at home one day a week, okay? I do a lot for my team, and I think that's probably one of the reasons why they don't go find another job, okay? However, they know if anyone takes advantage of it, well, you know, we start pulling back on that person. And you know what? I'm sorry, you took full advantage. You've been working at home how many days a week? Because, again, I manage remotely, okay? All my people worldwide, I don't physically, well, I can't say that. I do have the support group, the service desk now. They threw that one on me. But for the most part, my field guys, they're all in different facilities. So I have to trust them that they are getting their work done. And trust me, I know they are, because when the customers come to me, sending me emails, giving kudos to these guys, I make sure they see that kudos, and I make a copy to my boss to let her know, hey, this is what my team's doing. This is great, you know.
Hmm.
So I kind of put a, like, another thing I do is I reward them. Like, once a quarter. And, again, it's like a $100 gift card, and I just do that because I want them to know if, you know, there's times I can't give them, you know, promotions, or I can't give them raises because that's based on the business. You know, if the business isn't doing well, sorry, guys, I can't help you. My hands are tied. So I kind of say, you know what, I can at least give them like a $100 gift card. Or if a guy goes so far above and beyond and worked all weekend because of this issue, I'll call them and say, you know what, go take your wife out for dinner to a nice place. To let them know, thank you. You really did an awesome job. And you know what? That goes a long way.
Hmm.
It really does. Even though I can't give them a raise or a promotion, but little things like that, they know I have their back and that I really appreciate the hard work they do. That makes a difference.
I think it does, and that's whether you're working with men or women. I think that that's true. But the interesting thing, Kathy, is that I think my takeaway from this is make sure you know that they know the rules. Make sure that they are that they know that they're accountable, and that you'll go the distance with them, but they have to produce.
Yes, that's my whole process right there.
So I think that's a good way of a good model. So especially in the IT field where everything sort of can get
it's
non-regimented.
More silo than anything. You know, again, when you're in the IT field, there's a lot of technical people, okay? And we have to deal with those technical, we call them the level three guys, who do not face our customers. It's my team that has to face. So it's my team that deals with the customer, again, on a daily basis, like, why isn't this getting fixed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they are so siloed because I don't know if it's they're afraid that they're going to lose their job, that this one person is the only one that you can deal with. I'm a true believer of backups, you know. That's why I say cross-training is critical for my team. But, you know, if I get no answers, I go to the bosses. I don't have a problem. Mm-hmm. And I say, okay, we need to get a solution here.
And I guess if they know that that's going to be the end result of not responding to you, that encourages them to respond before it gets to that point.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Kathy, this has been great. Thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it, and I am looking forward to sharing this with some of the other Victorious Women. And for those of you listening, Kathy Lanyon is one of the Prosperity Sisters, and you can find the article. The Prosperity Sisters, in addition to being a global IT director, manager, Kathy, as one of the Prosperity Sisters, is a cake maker, and she handles the IT function of Full Spirited Flavors company that make the most wonderful prosperity cakes. Kathy, this has been, and I will post a link to the article about you, Kathy, and your sisters, and when I post this podcast.
Emery, that you mention, you know, my sisters with our prosperity cakes. Again, we work the same way, and I guess it's part of my growing up as far as the way I manage. When we are three sisters, again, like you said, but we're best friends, and we make it fun. So, again, it's kind of the same way as I'm managing other people. I do it the way my sisters and I do it. You know, we respect each other. We have a ball. I love it when we're together.
I do too. Whenever I've been with the three of you together, it's hysterical. And and yet you can see that, you know, like you're all three of you are strong-minded women. So I can see that there are times when they're, you know, that you might not always agree, and yet.
We find a way to work with each other.
Yeah,
so.
There's such respect between the three of you, and you respect that each of you has a different function within Full Spirited Flavors. So it's interesting to see the way that the three of you work, and I can understand that you take that into the workplace and use it in your management style.
Helps me be successful in my full-time job, but it also helps myself and my two sisters be successful in our venture. So, yeah, it's been a pleasure, Anne-Marie. I've enjoy, of course, I always look at laughter as the best medicine.
Well,
so.
Yeah, that's true. Kathy, thank you so much again for your time today, and I'm just so looking forward to sharing this with other women.
Thank you, Anne-Marie.
Okay, you take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.